Welcome to Pro Wrestling Talk Radio, the only radio station where you will not hear Panda. And I'm here today with Manny.
What?
What? We're the only radio station that doesn't play Panda.
What the hell is Panda?
You haven't heard that? It's the top song in America right now.
What the fuck is that?
Manny is an older man. He doesn't. Shit. He's not hip with the kids.
Yeah, I don't give a shit about what they're listening to. Have you heard shit like Young Thug and people like that? Pieces of shit. Music these days sucks. Yeah, I turned into that guy.
Panda. Manny, you are an old man with old man views. But say Panda hey to the audience who you just insulted because all of them are children.
Fuck the kids.
Audiences, no. Our audience is children. You got a problem with that tweet?
Dude. Is this by designer with two eyes?
Yeah.
What the fuck is this? Okay, hold on. Let me listen to it.
Okay, we're going to do a first reaction of Manny in a second, but...
Go ahead and introduce the people.
Yeah, I'm introducing everything. Okay, Manny's going to mute his mic and listen to that real quick, and we're going to get his live reaction.
I have heard this before.
Yeah, and it's everywhere.
I like the... this isn't the number one song in the country.
It basically is. Everyone listens here. Listen to that Panda. Oh. Panda.
I like the, the music. What am I trying to say? The instrumentals. And I'm not that necessarily a fan of the lyrics.
Well, the lyrics are nonsensical. But besides that, this is a wrestling show, and we're going to talk to you about what happened mostly. You're going to get a little NXT this week. You're going to get some Raw. Arc Dash Dreams of the Brand Split, maybe. And
oh, shit. Hey, Justin, this shit is hype, dog.
What?
This song is hype.
Panda? You see, people, I just created a monster here. And you could use the hashtag PWTR. Let us know what your thoughts on the show are. Tweet me at PWTR Justin, him at PWTR Manny. And yeah, you know what? Throw Duke some tweets. He loves you guys.
Yeah, the lyrics are like complete gibberish, though.
Manny is stuck on Panda, guys.
It's like no lyrics. It's all...
It's kind of like me talking a little bit. But besides that.
You? Okay, go ahead.
You? All right. We're going to get into the wrestling now. You know, find us on iTunes, Stitcher, all those, you know, usual places. PWFanBody.com.
Hey, we don't review wrestling. This is sports entertainment. Okay? Okay?
Same thing. Anyway, apples and pears. Anyway.
Pears.
I eat pears. Anyway, no. Enough of that. We're going to talk about AJ Styles.
I am so good at sidetracking you. It's ridiculous.
AJ Styles and John Cena. We are going to talk about that. Basically, Cena came out and said, okay, I had a little good moment. Then AJ compares with AJ Styles to The Rock's feud. Interesting. We'll get into that, I'm sure. And all this long spewing of just like talking about AJ Styles and like wondering why he ruined the moment. AJ Styles came out and just, you know, threw some shots at John Cena. And Cena fired back in a massive way, saying things like AJ Styles is desperate and all these things. So my question for you, Manny, is what were your thoughts on the segment and your thoughts on the feud so far?
Oh, it was excellent. The reason why it was excellent was because the best promos, the best feuds that we get are the ones that seem real. And this one seemed like it had a lot of realistic elements going into it. The idea that AJ Styles has the Bullet Club in... Bullet Club. The Club. They're the Bullet Club. Fuck it.
The Club.
he has the Bullet Club in his corner because he doesn't want to get buried by John Cena. Like, the fact that they use that term actually on television is amazing in and of itself. And then Cena coming back and saying, like, his insults are more played out than his jorts. I'm like, okay, that was very self-aware of you, John Cena. John Cena was excellent in this entire thing. Like, a lot of the points that he was saying, I'm like, and when you can make... somebody like me, who's like not enamored with the product necessarily, on a lot of cases, have that kind of reaction, then you've done something special. And I'm very much, like everyone, I think, looking forward to what they'll actually do when they get into the ring. And AJ Styles made it a point to say, like, he was great on the mic. That's what you do, not what you're doing right now. Yeah, that's you. But you can insult me when you get into that ring. And yeah, like... as he was saying that, I had a lot of, you know, that's basically what CM Punk said when he was going up against him. But, you know, that's none of my business.
What?
What? No, that's what, isn't that what Punk said?
Punk was more like, I'm the best in the world. It's like, no, he didn't say he insulted him. He just think he's the best in the world. He doesn't like the idea that people view Cena as the best in the world when
exactly.
He is.
Exactly, yeah.
It's not necessarily
yeah,
the same thing. It's just that he insults, like, it just sounds basically saying you suck in the ring.
Was CM Punk not attacking his in-ring efforts?
Not really. It was more just
yes,
like...
he was!
He was more attacking the hype behind him.
No, he wasn't.
Yeah, he was.
No, he wasn't.
Back in those days, WWE wouldn't be that's like letting him aware, letting CM Punk go in on Cena.
Letting CM Punk do something? Are you serious?
They still had the reins on that motherfucker. Don't
bitch,
act like
please.
They, don't act
he
like
was
they
on
did.
His way out
don't,
the door. Remember?
Don't you act like they didn't have the reins on him.
Fuck that. The reins wasn't even there yet. He was still in NXT.
Oh, fuck you. Yeah, we're doing. But my point, whole point is, like, no, Punk was a little bit different, but. It's a bit different. AJ Styles is more just focusing on entering work and, like, you insult me by trying because I'm phenomenal and you are not, basically. That's what he was going for. Manny's just going to remain silent here? And this is a one-man show now, I think?
Nah. I think Punk was attacking him in sort of the same vein. The idea that people are enamored with CM Punk, or, I'm sorry, enamored with John Cena because they feel like he's the best wrestler that the company
no, that was not the point.
Promotes him like he's the best wrestler. Yes, they do. Yes, it is.
That was not the just point at all.
See me with the hashtag PWTR. Let me know if I'm right because I know that I'm fucking right. CM Punk was attacking John Cena in much the same way, much the same vein that AJ Styles is attacking John Cena right now.
Well, regardless, I'm gonna review this feud since it's more relevant now. And I think Cena did really good. AJ Styles did really good. And what I think is missing that, not missing in this feud, but what this feud does well that is missing in so many other feuds is I actually feel the heat between the two. Even if it's not real, I'm pretty sure AJ Styles and Cena are fine with each other, but. For some reason, just the way they were talking to each other, looking at each other and all kinds of stuff, you just feel like there's an actual tension there. And that's great for building to a feud where, man, these guys might actually just fuck each other up. And that's great for, like, simulated fighting.
I think there is a tension of realistic tension, not of professional tension. Like, because John Cena has been that guy at the top of the mountaintop for the past, what, 15 years now? Holy shit, it's been a long time. And AJ Styles has been that guy that's just constantly working his way up. WWE has always been the dominant product, so everybody watches him, while TNA and New Japan, to a certain degree, and ROH have always been lower-tier products, where AJ Styles has flourished and done excellent things, but hasn't always gotten the same recognition that somebody like John Cena got because he was on that top brand, because he was the leader of the WWE and what they were doing for that period of time. So I think there is a little bit of resentment that AJ Styles has for John Cena and the place that he's had. So,
but Cena also has that look in him, though, where he resents AJ Styles, too. And Cena plays it up. Maybe it's just Cena's a great, you know, performer.
I think Cena looks at him that way because the whole fucking internet loves AJ Styles. And Cena doesn't get that same level of adoration from that fan base. So it's kind of a flip-floppy thing. It makes for an interesting feud, I think.
Yeah, and it makes for if they do really like kind of have a resentment for each other, then really plays. It's going to really play well into their feud too, where it's like, man, because those are those best feuds where you just see that a person really doesn't like someone and they just go for it. Like Macho Man and Hogan back in the day, you could tell like Macho Man played it up like he was really pissed off at the time because he probably was because he was afraid of Hogan fucking his wife, and who wouldn't be? And those are just kind of the best feuds, I think, where they're just like...
CM Punk and John Cena.
Yeah, like, I don't feel... Because the thing with that feud, though...
CM Punk hated, had super resentment.
Yeah, but he
John
opened
Cena.
His promo, the pipe on purpose, like, you know what, Cena, I like you. I like you more than half the people in the back.
Yeah, and
you,
I believe that. Yeah, I believe that, and I believe it's the same with AJ Styles. I don't think AJ Styles and John Cena have a real problem with each other in the back or anything.
Oh, no,
like,
they can't speak
or they can't coexist or anything like that. I just think that, and I don't even think that this is like a real like chip on the shoulder that AJ Styles. I think that just somewhere deep down in him, there is that level of resentment, like, this is everything that I could have had. I deserve this a lot more than you do. You just were fortunate enough to be on the top brand. I think that there's some of that at play in here. Not at the forefront, but just subtly.
Yeah, but tying that back to CM Punk, I don't think CM Punk had a problem with Cena ever. And I never really felt the heat. It was more like, I want to prove I'm the best, and that was pretty much it.
That's good enough,
but it wasn't like, I'm angry at you, motherfucker. I'm gonna
No, he wasn't angry with Cena the person. He was angry with Cena the machine, the poster boy, the guy that was doing all the shit for the company.
Yeah, like the promos with Punk and Vince, those are the more I felt the heat between the two. But Cena and Punk, never,
or even,
I didn't really feel that
or even Punk
heat.
And Triple H.
Yeah, that too. Well, if you listen to Punk, there's an actually real heat there, but... and you know we always go back to Bret and
Shawn and Bret.
Yeah, Bret and Shawn's the you know prime example of a great feud because they really hated each other. So
yeah.
So it all ties in. So I think what they're doing now is really great. I like as you said, AJ using the lingo of buried, because that's what everyone just wants to throw out there when Cena beats someone, which is irritating because Cena's awesome and they need to get over it.
It'd have been funny to see Triple H react to that.
Triple H is like, excuse me? It just pops up from the back of Teddy Long throughout the night. Like, someone say buried?
Walk it back. Just proceeds to bury Teddy Long right under the arena.
Oh, don't worry. We're going to get to him in a second. I got some thoughts.
You're going to get to Teddy Long?
Don't you worry. I got, because it's going to play into the brand split and why this is a terrible idea.
You have realistic thoughts on Teddy Long.
Yeah, because it plays into the how bad the brand. Well, get into it. Give me a second.
Okay.
Cap this thing off. I think it's going to be the feud of the year, match of the year, probably Money in the Bank, I think. Well, the thing is,
that is a high, that's a tall order. We've had a lot of great matches this year already.
Yeah, and the thing is, Nakamura and Sami Zayn is still very much a thing that happened this year.
Exactly. So,
and that's one of my favorite matches of all time now. We'll see. I give them a chance because they just
saw I think they're capable.
Yeah, because it's those two personalities, and this feud's being built up fine.
So but their match would have to be like damn near perfect.
And you have to realize they're building this up as a dream match. They're going to deliver on that, I think so. Because it is a dream match, because right when AJ Styles came in, me and you said, Cena. Cena has to be AJ Styles' opponent. Cena. Cena Orton. Those are the two. You got to get those done.
I don't give a fuck about Orton.
Just for the fact that Orton's amazing in the ring, too. So it's like...
Yeah, and he's also boring.
Maybe he'll be awesome when he comes back. You don't know.
He has been incredibly boring since the feud with Triple H. Like, incredibly boring.
Is he a Christian?
Incredibly boring. Christian carried that shit.
Jesus, give Orton some credit.
He did. All Orton did was kick Christian in the nuts.
He beat his ass. It was great. Oh, come on. You're not giving Orton enough credit.
Okay. I mean, he was good in that feud with Mark Henry, I guess, although Mark Henry carried that, too.
What about the Evolution Shield feud?
You mean the one that Triple H was involved in, therefore he is automatically the person carrying everything?
Oh, the Shield didn't carry that feud?
No, they didn't. They carried the matches.
Put that feud on his back.
They carried the matches. Triple H carried the feud.
Randy and Daniel Bryan had a good feud.
Excuse me?
Randy and Daniel Bryan had a fine feud.
No, because Daniel Bryan was feuding with Triple H.
Oh, shut up.
And Randy Orton was the catalyst.
Whatever,
the catalyst.
It doesn't really matter. Proxy. I'm just saying AJ Styles versus Randy Orton is still going to be a great match. I don't care how boring you think Orton is.
Okay, go ahead.
Orton is still very talented. And you know, we're talking about feuds and you know heat between the two. You think a feud between you know Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins would have quite a lot of heat, right? Well, we're not getting much interaction between the two. I mean, last week was what it was, and then this week was just video packages. And I will say, off the top, that those video packages are really good. Even Roman Reigns showed some personality, I guess.
They were very good.
But Seth Rollins was the fucking best one of the two, I think. And I think Manny will agree with me on that one, right?
I think I do.
Okay.
And I think that that video package set up for some great things. Like, you've heard me say before, like,
let me set the table, then you can talk, okay?
Okay, but go ahead and set the table
when
then.
I raise my hand, you be silent, okay? That's how
don't do that shit.
Yes. Okay, basically, Seth Rollins lays out a whole story from his perspective. I love how WWE set this up, too. Michael Cole's like, now we're going to get the story from Seth Rollins' perspective, then do Roman Reigns' perspective. I like that, where you just show those two sides to it. I like that. And Seth Rollins' perspective was like, I never lost the belt, so I'm still champion. What's this imposer doing here? I like Roman
And it's
Reigns.
Not just that, either. All of the hard work and effort that he put
yeah,
in.
Yeah, like, he's happened. Coming up as a real babyface here, but Manny, I'm sure you're going to harp on that in a second. And then Roman Reigns basically says, I don't like how he backstabbed me. I walk alone. He's a Batista now, and I'm the champion. He's basically said, I don't have any I walked in with brothers. I'm now all alone. Basically saying, fuck you, Dean Ambrose.
It wasn't just that, either.
Dean Ambrose is like, what the fuck, bro? And then it's like, all right, and the dude, next week, that's going to be great. The Ambrose Asylum with those two, like a Shield reunion, it's going to be fun.
I marked out when I saw that
dude,
shit.
I was like, oh my God, I'm watching Raw?
I was like, they should have put it on SmackDown low-key.
No.
They really should have put it. If they wanted to raise their ratings, they should
have
put that on SmackDown.
SmackDown for that bullshit.
Yeah, exactly. I would have watched SmackDown for that.
Dude.
Holy shit.
It's going to be amazing. That's next week. So, Manny, sorry for interrupting you earlier, but what are your thoughts on both?
I mean, like I said before, you've heard me harp on how WWE is transitioning away from full-blown heels and faces and really just presenting characters. And there was no greater illustration of that than what they did with these two video packages. They showed true motivation from both of these guys that fans could both relate to and they could sympathize with in terms of Seth Rollins having worked all this way up to be the guy and done everything that he had to do to get up there, and then it all being taken away from him and having to rehab and watch Roman Reigns win the title at this past WrestleMania. And then from Roman Reigns' side, you know, he felt like Seth Rollins. And by the way, just as a tangent real quick, when you were watching Roman Reigns' package, was it like uncomfortable to see how buddy-buddy Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins were at the time, Justin?
What do you mean uncomfortable?
No, like because you know the slithering snake that Seth Rollins, the character, has become.
Yeah, and you're like, he's going to break his heart.
Like just knowing what's going to happen, it's like, oh.
They were the tag team. I forgot that they were the tag team champions at one point. And that's
While Dean was the useless U.S. belt.
No, Dean was supposed to be the one getting the big push. He should get the useless U.S. belt. It didn't work out that way.
They he tossed over the
damn barricade. I don't want this. I don't care.
What the fuck is this?
No, the best thing is that when he did that one time, he's like, I don't give a fuck about this. And you see Seth Rollins behind him like, like, Seth was like, dude, what you doing?
Right. But no, like, with Roman Reigns' package, it showed how that affected him and how Seth Rollins coming out and cashing in front of Roman Reigns' family, how that truly affected him, how he was just like left there watching Seth Rollins succeed after all this shit that he had perceived him to do to him. So they're presenting these two cases where fans can truly just choose. It's like Captain America Civil War. Like neither side is necessarily wrong. It's just a matter of perspective of which side that you want to go with. So
like my side to Seth Rollins.
I think I side more towards Seth Rollins too.
Yeah,
because
more interesting plight.
He does. Like all of the shit that he had to go through to rehab and everything like that. Yeah. So at this point, Roman Reigns is the obstacle, even though Roman Reigns does have true motivation to want to go after Seth Rollins. And I know that these guys are probably friends backstage, but the chemistry that they have outside or inside the ring and in the arena in terms of kayfabe is fantastic because it seems like they really want to get at each other. And even Seth Rollins, because what's interesting about him is that you could say that he's coming back and he's doing his same old shit, you know, trying to get in Roman Reigns' head and cowering and backing down and everything. What if it's not that, though? What if it's a case that – because this is going to be the first real action that Seth Rollins has had since the knee injury. What if he's not fully confident in that knee, and what if he doesn't want to risk anything leading up to there until he actually has to when he gets into the match with Roman Reigns? What I'm saying?
I could see that. The whole thing with him carrying away is like, I thought the segment last week made no fucking sense. That was my big problem with that. And it's kind of...
What if that was like all he could do? Because I could see him...
I think he could do something else. That was just a poorly planned out segment, I thought, was the thing. Like, Jay put up a video last week, and he explained it kind of perfectly. So plugging Jay's video, I don't think it was a PW from Brother. I think it was just a separate video he made about it. This is explaining why that segment made no sense. I'm like, yes, that's pretty much it. Where, like, Seth Rollins had no leverage on the situation. Like, Roman Reigns has all the cards in his hand, and yet Seth Rollins is trying to play mind games like that. Like, you kind of look pathetic, buddy, and that's a problem. It goes back to what he was last year, where I was bitching every week about Seth Rollins. I don't want that Seth Rollins. Like, the Seth Rollins they presented to me in that video package on Raw is the Seth Rollins I want, where he's like, I don't give a damn about your moment. It's about me now. I'm like, yes. And just he's just going to be ruthless without, like, help, and he's not going to be a coward and all this stuff. I get where you're coming from, Manny. I just don't see that being what they're going for here.
Well, I would say, I agree. I don't know necessarily that that's what they're going for, but that's what they should be going for. I think that you have the internal conflict between Seth Rollins, who really wants to go in there and show what he could do and get at Roman Reigns and beat his ass and get his title back. But at the same time, Seth Rollins isn't fully confident in that knee. So when he goes out to try to attack Seth Rollins as he's walking down the ramp, what if he's thinking about, you know, I shouldn't do this because my fucking knee, I don't even know if it's going to hold up in the match, let alone in this silly ass conflict that's going on. So he starts walking to the back. But then he hears the fans and shit and he starts to talk. But he doesn't really have anything to say to the fans because fuck the fans. It's about Seth Rollins. So he's going to go back down to the ring and shit. And eventually it gets to a point where he just wants to try to get into Roman Reigns' head that he has to watch his back. That eventually sometime at some point he's going to get to him. But he doesn't want to take him off head on until Money in the Bank because that'll be when it matters. And if he hurts his knee in that, then at least he hurt it in the process of trying to reclaim what was rightfully his in his mind.
I don't see that as a bad idea. I just don't see that's what they're going for. I think they just, with the same, it just came off that everybody was trying to say Seth Rollins is playing mind games with Roman Reigns just to get into his head when he had nothing to get into his head with, kind of a thing.
He's like, oh, you know what would be super dope? You know what would be super dope?
What?
If next week Roman Reigns comes out and addresses the idea that Seth Rollins isn't even fully confident in his own knee, let alone
and
his
ability. And Rollins says, no! And it's like,
And if Rollins gets like visibly shaken by that, that would be great.
Yeah, and Ambrose will be there to stir the pots. And it's gonna be a great ass segment. I can't wait.
WWE, feel free to take that idea. I just want this to be good. I don't care if it's
credit. I mean, I care a little bit, but
check
would be credit. Nice, but
whatever. But I really just want this to be a good feud because this is one that we've been looking forward to for a very long time.
Like this is they've been teasing this match two times before. I guess third time's a charm. It's gonna happen as long as they both stay healthy, not wrestle. Maybe just put them in, like bubble wrap and say, okay, we're gonna have this match now because that is a match we've all wanted to see. And I think it's gonna be a great match. I don't know if it's gonna be the match of the night because they have a little match called Money in the Bank in there, and you have Cena AJ on the card too. So I don't know. It's probably gonna be a phenomenal match though. So. We'll see how it plays out, and I think that
it can't be phenomenal without AJ Styles in it.
Okay, and seriously, I can't express into words how excited I am for that Ambrose Asylum on Monday. That's going to be the greatest thing. Hopefully, if it goes the way you think it's going to go, not just like Ambrose being silly, but Ambrose being like, "All right, motherfucker, I see you." It's like, yeah, and show that heat. Then he gets into Reigns' face. Oh my god.
And then Ambrose wins the Money in the Bank and then cashes in and makes it a triple threat.
Sorry, man. Jericho's winning that.
Jericho's not winning that.
Dude, if he wins that, you're going to owe me nothing.
What would WWE have to gain from Jericho winning that besides just throwing it away, thus rendering it completely useless?
The thing is, he's the failed cash-in that no one would care about.
No. Okay.
Him or Del Rio.
Why does it have to be a failed cash-in?
Because Reigns is not losing that title.
I'm not understanding this.
Reigns is not losing that title.
Why?
Because it's Reigns.
So what?
He's the boy.
What if he goes up against John Cena in the next feud?
Yeah, he's going to beat John Cena.
Oh, my God.
They don't give a fuck about Cena anymore.
What if he goes against Brock Lesnar?
Sorry, Brock. You're going to eat one spear and lose.
Bruno Sammartino.
Bruno Sammartino and get back in the ring. I'm just throwing names at me. But speaking of Money in the Bank.
Nope, a feud between Roman Reigns and The Rock.
Reigns wins.
I mean, I don't care if your Reigns wins.
I want The Rock to win because Dwayne Johnson's the perfect human being. But besides that...
Okay, go ahead.
All right, speaking of Money in the Bank and failed cash-ins, so let's talk about the Money in the Bank segments from Raw with the matches, the guys in it. And they kind of... I guess the only word to describe it would be a stupid segment on the opening segment of Raw, which is them on ladders talking to each other.
It was a stupid start to the segment. It wasn't necessarily a stupid segment altogether.
It was kind of dumb. But at any point, they could have gotten down. It was a dumbass setup. It was a dumb segment. But it was dumb. But what they were saying, I kind of liked what they were saying. Like, I like the... Maybe it's just me, but I found the exchange between Sami Zayn and Jericho pretty funny. With like,
it was so funny.
One town. Apple. Apple. Did you say Apple?
I like all of these exchanges, man.
that exchange was funny to me. Like, really, really funny.
I mean, it just would have been better served if they hadn't started perched on top of a ladder like some fucking jackasses.
And the Jericho, you know, sitting cross-legged on a ladder was pretty funny, too. But
Dean Ambrose sitting here like, okay, are we going to fight or what?
Jericho's like, Kevin knows, I'm not done talking. He's like, okay, and Ambrose's like, okay, keep talking. You got this, man. Like,
you know what the funniest shit was? Cesaro and Dean Ambrose were talking about Canadians.
Dude, that was like last week. That was good, too. But no, Ambrose just his expressions. If you just look at him during the entire segment, is just like he's just like it's interesting. Ambrose is a funny man. But yeah, I was like that. Besides that, okay, we got nice little build up. We got matches between the guys. So what do you think of each guy like going forward into it?
I mean, there's only like two people who can win this, right?
Basically.
Oh, hi, Duke.
All right, I just wanted to put.
What
my
do you mean, hi, Duke?
Really
he's been
fast.
Here the whole time. What are you talking about?
What?
What do you mean, hi, Duke? He's been here the whole time.
Oh, has he? We just haven't introduced him. Okay, whatever.
I was waiting for my chance to talk, but I don't know. I think realistically, I mean, does anybody give anybody a chance besides Dean Ambrose or Kevin Owens?
Jericho.
He seems to think Jericho's going to win because of a failed cash-in or some dumb shit.
That's what I think is going to
happen. I think Jericho's great, but I don't think Jericho's going
to
win.
I think Kevin Owens is the guy I'd like to win, but I think Dean Ambrose would be the best choice because he could go ahead and cash in and make it a triple threat immediately. In the night, but yeah, that's what I think.
Jericho, I think the reason they're giving it to Jericho, just enlighten me for one. What's the word?
Indulge.
Indulge me for a second. Once again, he created the Money in the Bank ladder match. He's never won it, so this would be like, oh, he won one, and then it'd be like, because they're gonna have a failed cash-in because Reigns is not losing that belt ever. So it's like, okay, the only person that we would not care about losing the Money in the Bank failed cash-in would be Jericho. So just give it to him. So that's where my standpoint is.
The only other person I want to see win it besides like Owens or what's his name?
Cesaro?
Or Ambrose. I kind of want to see Sami Zayn walk away with the briefcase just so then maybe you could have Kevin Owens win the briefcase off him to cap the feud off.
That'd be good, but Sami Zayn can't win anything, so...
Jericho's literally the worst option.
No, Jericho's better. I think Jericho's a great option because when you really look at it and like how much like most of the guys who get the Money in the Bank don't get ready, they don't get the booking. Like Jericho's already got credibility at this point.
Yeah.
And this Jericho, this incarnation of Jericho, if they put him in the championship match tomorrow, I would be okay with it.
Scarf Jericho for the win.
Oh. Am I the only one that just doesn't give a shit about Jericho?
I really kind like of. Scarf Jericho.
Like Jericho makes me laugh consistently
okay,
every week.
That's so. It for this show. I've fulfilled my contractual
obligation. All right, Duke. Yeah, he really left, guys. Tweet him at PWTR Duke and say, Duke, where do you go?
Hashtag, where's Duke?
But yeah, that's where I'm standing on it. But talk about each guy, though. Like, Del Rio has no shot at it. And his character's really floundering. Like, he was the worst part of that segment last week.
That is true.
Where he was like, Paperboy, like, what's this?
Which is weird, because he had a good match.
Yeah, no, he had a great match, which unfortunately Sami Zayn had to lose for some reason, but...
I mean, I don't mind Sami Zayn. Like, I really fast-forwarded through all of those matches, because it's like, those matches were all inconsequential. They weren't qualified.
They were good matches, though. I wanted to
see. Didn't mean a damn thing toward the match, though.
No, I agree. I'm just saying these are matches I wanted to see, though. Like, I'd love to see Cesaro versus Jericho and Zayn versus Del Rio. I think those are great matches. But, and Owens versus Ambrose I've seen already, so that one was like, okay. But, although Kevin Owens hit a nasty frog splash on the outside, that was pretty good. But,
yeah.
But with all these guys, like Ambrose, we're hoping there's a Shield triple threat, but once again, I don't think WWE cares enough about him, so who knows. And plus, if they're doing that segment with Ambrose Asylum on Monday, they might be like, oh, we're teasing it, but it's not going to happen kind of a thing. Because that's how WWE plays.
I have a question.
What?
Because I really feel like they're pushing Kevin Owens because he's talented enough and he can carry.
But Kevin Owens lost to Ambrose.
Yeah. I ain't talking about that. I'm just saying that like in the macro, not in the micro.
Okay.
I think that they're pushing him to be that not top heel, but that top obstacle, that top asshole
Kane.
In the company. And does that
Kane?
Not a lot more important than Kane, but yeah.
Because back on SmackDown, Kane was always the guy you beat to get a world title. So.
No. I don't mean that. Like, he'll be a top guy that holds the world title. My question is, does that by proxy automatically drag Sami Zayn up there to be one of the top faces too? Because I feel like their careers are pretty tangled up and linked right now.
Yeah, even though they're not doing much interaction, like, right now during this feud, as they should be doing, but whatever. Like, I like when the fight broke out on Raw, the opening segment, that they, you know, instantly there was those two hockey fighting on the outside again, but I think they are intertwined, but I don't see them pushing Sami Zayn to be a top guy.
Like, I think he might drag a few people up there. If he takes, because, like, him and Ambrose have had a lot of dealings.
Ambrose is a top guy.
Is he a top guy?
He's a top guy.
He's not held a title yet.
He's not, no, but he's a top guy.
How is he a top guy?
He had a feud with Lesnar at WrestleMania. Has Owens had that?
What the fuck does that mean?
He had a match with Brock Lesnar.
Yes, he had a terrible ass match that he got squashed in with Brock Lesnar. He got destroyed. What are you talking about? He got wrecked.
Watch the match again.
I will watch the match again. He got wrecked.
No, he didn't get wrecked. It was pretty fair, actually, that fight, even.
He did nothing.
Yes, he did. He beat Brock up.
Like, no.
The only people who have feuded with Brock are like main eventers at this
point. When was the last time Dean Ambrose main evented something?
Roadblock.
Okay, that doesn't really count because we all knew that was a speed bump. But before that,
that was a great feud. Don't you undercut Fastlane?
Shut up. He main evented Fastlane?
Yeah, with Reigns and Lesnar.
Oh, that tag team?
No,
wait,
it was a triple threat.
Triple threat for...
You get a world title shot at WrestleMania.
Okay.
Yeah,
because the only time I could think of before that was like the Hell in a Cell match with Seth Rollins.
And Bray Wyatt happened after that too at TLC.
That was the main event?
Yep.
That wasn't the main event,
yeah,
was it?
Of TLC, tables, ladders, chairs, and stairs. That was the main event of that.
It's so shitty.
But it happened. And,
ugh.
And Ambrose is a main event guy, I think. I mean, he's not the
is
one.
Bray hurt?
What?
Is Bray hurt
now? Yeah, he should be coming back anytime, though.
Because he just had like a little face thing, right?
Yeah, he got injured that week. So
yeah, okay,
he'll be back. But whatever, that's not the point. But Ambrose, I think he is a top guy, just not the upfront in your face top guy like Reigns or Rollins or Cena or any of those.
He's
guys.
That tweener.
He's like
he's Mick Foley.
Yeah, yes, exactly, perfect. I was trying to think of a guy from the Attitude Era, and that's the perfect one.
He's Chris Jericho.
Not Chris Jericho.
He is Chris Jericho was a tweener. He was a true tweener.
You don't get what do you mean by tweener? Because tweener means half babyface, half heel. He's not like that.
He was half main eventer, half mid-carder.
Okay, that's what you're saying. But yeah, Chris, I'm thinking more Chris Jericho in like the Ruthless Aggression era. That's what you're thinking, I think. Not Attitude.
Jericho main evented with Triple H in the Hell in a Cell.
WrestleMania, too.
And then he also wrestled was like the longest reigning Intercontinental Champion or most Intercontinental Championship reigns.
Yeah,
or something
the most
like
Intercontinental Championship reigns. Like he's at 9 or 10.
So I wonder how many combined days he's held that title.
Like Intercontinental?
Yeah.
Probably a great deal.
I feel like that's more important than the number of reigns.
Because that means how many times you've lost, too, to be fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I'll give you Jericho, but Mick Foley's like the perfect comparison in my mind for the Attitude Era guys or whatever. I can't think of Golden Era. I guess not Macho Man. He's not Macho Man.
Like
not Warrior. Shoot, who would it be?
Lex Luger?
No. No. Not the American Treasure Lex Luger, but
Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels.
He was Diesel of those three.
Diesel.
Not really, because Diesel. Roman Reigns is Diesel. What am I saying? But
Psycho Sid. No, Psycho Sid was always a main eventer.
Psycho Sid's amazing. He's the real American treasure.
He was incredible.
In breaking his leg. But
for sure. But everything he did it to the fullest.
Even with half his brain, because he only had half a brain. Besides that. He was also involved with the Shockmaster segment, too, if I remember correctly. But
he sure was. Because so was Sting.
And Psycho Sid had to, like, sell that shit. But, okay, whatever. Dean Ambrose is
Chris
amazing.
Benoit.
What about him? Can I just say that name out loud?
Mick Carter / main eventer at the same time.
He doesn't exist.
So, and Eddie Guerrero.
Give him Eddie Guerrero at the very least. Don't rope him in with Chris Benoit.
All right, go ahead.
Scott Hall. Boom.
Scott Hall.
And WCW. That's what Dean Ambrose is.
That's true.
Because you have Kevin Nash and Roman Reigns.
Uh-huh.
And you have Hulk Hogan with Seth Rollins. Not a fitting comparison, but whatever. You know what I'm saying.
I am the architect of the Shield, brother.
Brother. No, okay. He's not racist. I'd like to say he does a lot of stupid things on the internet, like send nudes, but he's not racist. I'd like to think.
He can send those, but okay.
But, we're not really talking about Cesaro. I think they're giving him a mini push, too.
I don't know that they fully trust him.
They're not fully. They haven't pushed the button entirely. Like, they kind of like.
Yeah, they're like testing him out right
but
now.
The thing
they're
is, if you notice, he's like won every Raw match since he's been back, except
because he's a great wrestler.
Yeah, but he loses on the stuff that matters, like the pay per views and stuff.
Because they don't know if they could trust him yet.
And actually, I think were you there when Charlie was talking about how we can't be right about Cesaro? Vince has to be right about Cesaro. That's the reason why they're not giving him the full ball or whatever. Like, Vince says he doesn't got it, so if he's got it, Vince is wrong. So they're trying to make it like, whoa.
That's incredibly shitty, though.
Yeah, well, it's Vince. It doesn't surprise you, but. And I think if that's the case, I really hate you, Vince McMahon. If that's the
case.
Wow. You push my Cesaro, damn it.
You ain't going to hate him enough to stop watching the product, though.
No, you
ain't about to be about that Don Cornelio life.
You know what, though?
That Lucha Underground, boy.
Let's talk about that, what would make us end our ties to wrestling, or WWE, I should say. And that is the brand split.
Jesus.
We talked about this a couple weeks ago, about how we're not excited about it. Duke was the only one. We think he's insane. That's why he's in an asylum right now, thinking about what he's done. And watching Raw the past 2 weeks, where the first two, where the opening segments, besides the Money in the Bank thing, where WWE saying, telling the audience, like, we don't know, guys. Stop asking. We don't know what's going on with the brand split.
Basically.
That's pretty worrisome, if you think about it.
Basically.
And it's only weeks away, and you still don't know what's going on. I think we got a confirmation that Stephanie's going to be running SmackDown.
I think we got an indication that Stephanie is going to be running SmackDown.
And then Shane's like, fuck you. And it's like,
I mean, Shane can run Raw. That's what he wanted.
Yeah, that's fine, but I was really hoping Shane would be on SmackDown. If I were to pick SmackDown, cause here's what's going to go down with the brands, but I'm going to play my cards on the table. Whatever show is going to have Shane is going to be the show I watch. I'm not going to watch the other one. I don't care how many guys are on there.
I don't care
if it's like Curtis Axel, main eventing Raw, whatever. I'll adapt if Shane's on there.
Oh my God.
I'll adapt. Because I'm not going to dedicate all that time to this brand split. I'm sorry. I'm just not going to do it.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I just wish that they would do a better job of respecting the consumer's time. Like, I don't have 10 hours in a fucking week to consume WWE products. I got other shit that I like to do. And I said this before, but, you know.
And plus, if you split those titles up, sorry, I'm going to only recognize the Raw brand. That's it. I don't recognize the other fucking belt. I'll skip the
matches. WWE will, and it'll be annoying as shit when everybody has, like, 25,000 title reigns.
Yeah, though, like, people like Jack Swagger have another title reign and shit. Like, no. We don't need... Titus O'Neil will have a title reign. Fuck that.
John Cena and all of his 15 title reigns.
Hey, Cena needs to break that Ric Flair record.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah, he does.
Why?
Because Cena's amazing.
Ric Flair did it when there was one title in the company that he was working for.
He did it in multiple companies.
He did do it in multiple companies, but he did it when there was one title in the company that he was working for.
Whatever. Doesn't matter. But, yeah, that's where I think of the brands. But Teddy Long coming out basically confirms, like, we don't know what's going on, guys. And Teddy Long blew.
That was hilarious at certain points, though.
He was awful, though.
He was funny as shit when he was
kept
just like
screwing up lines.
Incoherent. I'm gonna make this a Fatal 4-Way Triple Threat Death Cage match. It's like, what?
Like, I thought the whole. When he first popped up, it was during the big brawl with everyone outside the ring. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, they're being self aware to have Taylor Long come out just to make a tag match and leave, kind of a thing. Like, be funny about it. But no, they decided to go this whole route where, like, I want to be GM of SmackDown. It's like,
wait. But when he came out, I was like, you know what I'll do? I will make this. I will restart this match as a tag team
okay,
match.
They finally fulfilled the prophecy there. But
but nobody did anything.
Yeah, the, like the security, like Fandango's, like
it was like, you don't work here.
Yeah. See, that was fine, but just him coming out, make it like WWE. You get the meme of him making tag matches every SmackDown ever, but as a tag team match, it's just like his thing. But then there was like this awkward segment with Stephanie backstage, like Dollar Dollar, make you go holler, basically saying you're gonna be my whore to Stephanie. Like, well, that's interesting. Look, Stephanie looked very uncomfortable back there. That wasn't good. You saw that, right, Manny?
Yeah.
Then, like, it was good that she stole his idea being a heel kind of a thing, but at the same time, it's like...
I thought Stephanie was trying to be a face, though.
I thought so, too, until Raw. And then she's like, I'm just stealing men's
herself.
Ideas.
She falls
stuff.
Back into her habits.
Like, they're so bipolar with what they want to do with her, but whatever. But yeah... Brand split's going to be hard. We're going to get two titles. I'm not into that at all.
At all.
No. I'm not into a brand split, period.
Yeah.
At all.
I'm into live SmackDowns. That's cool.
I still want to watch, but that's cool.
Yeah, but I mean, at least it's earlier in the week.
Yeah.
It's front loaded so that, you know, get it out the way or whatever.
WWE, why you got to do this to me?
Why? Why you gotta have Charlotte as a women's champion?
For real, though! Are we kind of segue into that real quick? She sucks. I hate her. I'm done with her. I've been done with her.
She came out, and she started talking, and it was like, Daddy, I still wanted you to be my dad. And I'm just like, oh.
Is there a basketball game on? Can I watch the non-existent basketball game right now?
DVR? What? Something else on? Nah. It was awful. It was awful. It was so awful.
Charlotte's
like, and I don't know. I don't even know how to fix it. I think Charlotte is a talented individual.
No.
I just don't know how to fix where she is right now.
I say fuck her. Release her.
See, and you'd be a moron.
No, I wouldn't. I'm not losing any money getting rid of her.
That's why you're not in charge of the company.
Would they lose money if they got rid of her?
Probably. They'd lose potential.
There's no potential there. I've seen her. No.
No, there's potential there.
She can't even have a good match with Natalya anymore. She's useless. Get rid of her.
Natalya's a bitch.
Well, duh, but...
Like, a true... Like, she is not a face. Like, fuck her. She's a true...
Manny's going off.
True bitch in that... Like, why is she coming out and talking about... This is none of your fucking business how she's addressing her dad.
Although, to be fair, I will say it was kind of uncomfortable when Charlotte brought up how the Hearts were a mess. I mean, you probably shouldn't be saying that with Owen Hart.
Natalya shouldn't have brought her ass out there.
No, but I'm just saying.
Fucking like, Canadians.
It's not really a Charlotte thing. It's more like, fucking Canadians. Like, it's more of a thing. I don't want anybody to, like, mention the Hart family like that because of what happened with Owen. I think that's a little underhanded a little bit. It was uncomfortable for me to listen to that. I didn't like that. But
so if Natalya hadn't brought in her Canadian ass out there, then it wouldn't have been a problem.
What about Becky Lynch's Irish ass? What are you going to do with that?
I don't know why Becky Lynch was there either.
She had to stick up for Ric Flair, the man who screwed her over and kissed her at the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, and then she tripped over Natalya.
God, that segment was so garbage.
It was bad.
Dana Brooke was the only good thing, and she was sucked too. All
right, can we move on now?
Yeah, we're done. We're done talking about that. Let's talk about Dana NXT. Brooke good, weird. Good things, NXT.
Dana Brooke looked weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, go ahead.
The NXT TakeOver happened, and we NXT loved it. Happened. I loved it for the most part.
I thought it was good.
You know, NXT was interesting. There's a lot of things I didn't expect to like Nia Jax. I'm going to let Manny go into that because I think he put it better than I did. But yeah, like, and Ty Dillinger, I think it's time for him to get, like, maybe a jobber spot on the main roster because that guy's been there for years. Like, WWE for years. He's there during the Spirit.
He's going to be in the new Damian Sandow.
Yeah, that wouldn't be bad. And
he's going to be that guy that's talented as fuck, but just doesn't get his big break.
Like, his match in the opening segment was really good.
Yeah, but see, you can see it. He doesn't understand where he fits in. He doesn't understand what his character is supposed to be.
He's the perfect 10.
And what is that?
I don't know, but I like it.
Anyway.
And then CN, we saw his debut. I thought he was really good.
Is that the guy he wrestled?
Yeah. One of my favorite spots in the whole show was when he tried to do a dive but missed in the middle rope and just hung out there for a second.
He's vanilla Mexican. He's not going to make it.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Well, we'll see what comes of it. Because you saw what he's doing. I don't know. There's potential there.
I don't think Vince wants him to make it, but yeah.
Vince wants him to make it.
Like with Eddie, he didn't have a choice. Eddie had such oozing charisma and shit. Yeah. So, but with this guy, I don't know. I don't know.
But Mysterio also got a push, just saying.
Mysterio was like a superhero to the kids.
Well, this guy Mysterio
was marketed more towards kids than John Cena was.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm just saying I like this debut, and I like the spot where he just jumped in the middle of the ropes and just hung out there. And I'm like, yeah, that's a cool spot.
Yeah, that's kind
of
cool.
Yeah, and then...
And then when he did the stand-up on the turnbuckle and the Tiger like kicked him in the face.
It looked like he got kicked in the neck. Corey Graves has jaw. I saw neck action. They're like, hey, stop that, Ty Dillinger. What was the other... talk about Nia Jax for a second, Manny.
Wait, we got to get to American Alpha.
We're going to get to them next.
Okay, all right, we're going to talk about Nia Jax. Okay, so Nia Jax, to me, was pretty impressive in this. Not in that wrestling sense, but in just her character development. So she is never going to be that wrestler that goes out and has that five-star classic. She's not
Gail Kim.
She's not Gail Kim. She's not Sasha Banks. She's not going to go out there and do all the shit. But what she can do is be like the female Mark Henry, be that obstacle that somebody has to get past, be the person that's the dominating champion, the overpowering champion, because her strength is incredible. Like the way that she just effortlessly throws Asuka across the ring and power bombs her and shit like that is incredible. And you can't really attack her legs. Like normally with big guys, you want to chop them down, but guys like Mark Henry, they're top loaded. Guys like the great Khali, they're top loaded. They have weaker legs than necessarily the upper body strength. Nia Jax is all bottom loaded. Her strength comes from her thighs and shit like that. She has these tree trunks for thighs. So you can't really, like, there was a point where Asuka tried to put her in like some kind of leg bar, right?
Yeah.
And it just, you could see it wasn't effective because she couldn't really grasp it all. She couldn't lock her into the hold because
Asuka was kicking her leg and it was just nothing.
Yeah, there was no movement at all. Yeah. So that is really interesting about her. So you see the offense that you have to have against Nia Jax is attack her head to try to disorient her or try to submit her with an arm bar or try to choke her out. That's basically all of
or
your
knock
options.
Her out at the very
or knock her out, yeah. That's basically all of your options when it comes to her in a straight-up wrestling match. So with that being said, she could be interesting in that capacity. What she has to do is – what WWE has to do, first of all, is make sure that she's in a position to continue to feature her power moves, to feature her strength and her dominance and all of that. And for her, she needs to make sure that since she's not going to be the person that goes out there and carries the five-star classic, she has to make sure that her in-ring psychology and her her mic skills are on point.
And I especially think she is working on that. I think to be oh, there's real
been,
quick.
Yes, there's been immense improvement in that. You want to say something real quick?
Yeah, because I've been watching her from week to week because I watch NXT weekly. But yeah, I think there's severe improvement. Like, I don't want to cut you off too much. If you want to stop being finish your point, you can. But my big thing with Nia Jax, like, you saw her in her debut, right? You saw her against Bayley.
Yeah, against Bayley, and that match was weird. I didn't think that Bayley's skinny as shit. And I didn't think Nia Jax should have just sat on her, but you could buy the idea.
Jesus, she just sat on her.
You could buy the idea that Bayley's experience came into play because Nia Jax was so green, and she wasn't really...
But she was super green. That's the great thing with NXT being developmental is my big point here. Is like, you see her progression and being something potentially really great for the roster. And I think she's grown immensely in just a few short months. Like, she... it might help that she's her family's in the business, so to speak, because she gets the business. I think, like, her psychology is pretty good. I think.
Well, she does now. I don't think this is a product of her family or anything. I think this is a product of her in-ring experience and transitioning through NXT. Like, when I first saw her, I thought she was garbage, and I wanted to go ahead and get rid of her right then and there.
So did the NXT audience. They weren't into her, but you saw her dueling Nia Jax versus Asuka Chance, and Asuka's over as shit. So it's like
yes.
So yeah, that's kind of a beauty of how it's kind of a good little story she has, like a Cinderella, like kind of a Cinderella story, but how she's progressing to something that could be potentially really great.
Yes,
like the anti Eva Marie kind of a thing.
Basically, so she needs to get in there and she needs to make sure she understands how to manipulate the crowd. She needs to understand how to properly carry the story and what she's yelling at her opponent and exerting her dominance and everything like that. And make sure all of that shit is on point. And then she needs to make sure that she works on her mic skills. I think that I haven't seen her cut a promo for real. Is that getting better?
Her promos, yes. They seem more natural. They're not like the greatest. They're not Sasha Banks.
And did they change her entrance music too?
No, it's the same, but I like her entrance music.
Is it? Because like when I first heard it, I thought it was garbage. But now that I like, maybe it's like because the video package that they showed
they
had like a different version of it, right?
Instrumental version.
Yeah, it was
and I
great.
I do like the theme. I think I think the wrestling themes are like top notch these days, but not like the cream. Like
they're getting there.
Like there's no Edge theme there, but there's like
they're not Jim Johnston.
I don't know. Sami Zayn's Nakamura's theme is amazing. So,
it is.
It's my favorite theme. Well, Sami Zayn, I love Sami Zayn's theme.
Nakamura's theme, Kevin Owens' theme, Finn Balor's theme. They're all top notch.
Yeah, Samoa Joe's theme's gotten so good.
Well, it was so shitty before.
I know at first.
Right? And the problem with Samoa Joe is that he had the perfect theme when he was in TNA.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I'll give you that. But AJ Styles had a good one. AJ Styles has a great theme in WWE too. But
I think so.
I love the build up where it's like you hear it's I am phenomenal. There's like that music. I love
Bullet
that.
Bullet Club's theme is really good too.
Yeah, like the themes are really good. These Nakamura's though is out of this fucking world.
Girl. Yeah, that's another planet.
Yeah, and but think speak real quick before getting to Nakamura. Asuka's amazing. I love Asuka. I think everyone in the world will say that. She needs to get to the main roster and kick Charlotte's head off and out of the company. But besides that.
You know what needs to happen? When she gets to the main roster, she needs to just step out there in the middle of one of Charlotte and Natalya's little shit. And she can't.
That's how you phrase that.
And it'd be great if she could. I don't know. She's not that good at English, though, is she?
No, not the greatest, but that's okay.
That's rough because they need to have somebody step out there and just be like, you know what? I'm here now.
Just say that. I think she can say that.
All of the petty shit that you guys are involved with, it stops now.
No. You don't even have to say that. Just say, I'm here now. And just like, sometimes the best lines are just those quick ones. That just hit.
That's true. Yeah.
Like, so I have to work on delivering that one line. That contract sign is like, you ain't afraid of me. You should be. Like, yeah. That's good. Great.
Yes. That was great.
See, that's what you got to do with Asuka. Just short and sweet. Because she'll have those great one-liners and... we're off to the races. But yeah, speaking of people with, you know, amazing talent, Nakamura. That match, though.
Nakamura.
Dude.
It wasn't as good as the Sami Zayn
match.
No,
but it's still really good. Match of the night, I think.
It's very I guess so.
And Austin Aries. Austin Aries is amazing. I think
he is amazing.
Can we agree on that? Is he the greatest?
You know what's so dope about him? He doesn't necessarily do one thing. Like superb, he just does everything great.
Yeah, he's been like the Eddie school where he can do any style. Like AJ Styles, even compare him to AJ Styles, like he can do anything AJ Styles does. He can format to any style. Austin Aries is great, and I think I didn't like the fact, I talked to Manny off air, that he was getting kind of a negative reaction. I get he's supposed to be the heel of the match, but saying Austin Aries sucks, I heard those chants. I'm like, what defines sucks to me?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it was just a product of because
Nakamura is so super. He's facing Nakamura. He's going to be the heel, but
yeah,
I get that. But at the same time, they were giving him kind of a piss poor reaction. I didn't like it because I think the guy has loads of talent, and crowd reaction is so crucial in NXT because if you don't give a man that wide reception, he's not going to be used well at all.
They just need to get Austin Aries in a position where he's able to thrive and actually do something that matters to the NXT crowd.
Like Baron Corbin was a good start. Nakamura was also a great dream match idea. Just go for it. But next,
I think it was a little soon for Nakamura though.
Huh?
I think it was a little soon for Austin Aries to go against Nakamura. And I didn't like the way that match finished. I didn't like the fact that Austin Aries made that dumbass mistake that you could see telegraphed from a mile away where he dove over the ropes, and then from there on
it was a sixth spot though.
It was a sixth spot, but from there it was Nakamura kicking the shit out of him and then finishing him off.
It was only three moves later than it ended.
It was three devastating ass moves. I don't think that a match that Austin Aries is in should ever end without him locking in his finisher at some point.
He did lock it in. His finisher is the submission thing. Yeah, Nakamura in.
When did he do that? I don't remember that.
It was during some point in the match. Nakamura got to the ropes. So he used his long legs to get there.
Oh, maybe I just don't remember that shit.
Yeah, because
usually when he was at TNA, he would do a brainbuster and then follow it up with that.
No, he doesn't do that anymore.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah,
I want the brainbuster back.
That match was great, but let's talk about another great match.
Sure.
American Alpha versus The Revival.
Alpha is incredibly working well together. It's incredible to watch those two in the ring together.
The thing is,
and Dosh and Dassin are great too.
I don't like Dosh and Dassin. Dosh and Dassin.
I mean, they're pretty vanilla characters, but that's
exactly that's my thing. And plus, they just look like jobbers. That bothers
they
me.
They do. But that's what's so dope about them.
Is that maybe that's something you guys? Because I know Duke and Charlie to the extent you like them. I don't get it. But it took me a while to like Chad Gableton. I think Chad Gable's a world champion now. So Owens. We don't have to get into what happened my story with Kevin Owens. But I think Dash and Dawson aren't the Kevin Owens. I'll be quite honest with you. I just see them like look like a character you'd make in WWE that would be a jobber. So
They are. But they are incredibly talented in the ring. They work well together. They would suck if they were singles competitors.
Yeah, that's what worries me, because you know WWE's going to split them up, and you just know...
No, they don't need to split up ever. They are...
No, they're going to split them up, and you know what's going to happen? They're both going to be Eric Rowan. That's going to be what's going to happen.
Basically. If they ever split them up, it would be tragic for both of them. They are so great together as a tag team. They could be a dominant tag team. Like, the whole idea... People chant which one's Dawson, which one's Dash, as if that's a bad thing. They're both vanilla, yeah, but that just goes to show that they blend together so well as a tag team that it doesn't even matter. It's the tag team that you're facing, not Enzo and Ben Cass. I'm not going to say Chad or Gable and Jordan, because they work so well together too. But, you know, some of these tag teams out here are just like two separate components that are coming together to try to make it work, whereas these guys are one well-oiled machine.
But you know with every tag team they have to break up because that's WWE's way of doing things. So if that were to happen, bye.
Not with them. They're vanilla. They know they're vanilla.
Yeah,
they can't do that.
But you have to know deep, like, let's look, which one's the bald one?
I don't know.
Dawson, I think.
Is he?
You know, in the back of his mind, like, man, I could main event WrestleMania one day by myself.
It's
nope.
Dash and Dawson. Dawson and Dash. That's all I know.
Yeah, but at the same time, you know they're going to be like, they're both like in their heads, like, man, that'd be great to be a singles competitor, be a world champion one day. Not going to happen. But you know, you have to have that drive if you're going to be in the wrestling business, right? So it's got to suck for them to realize we have to be a tag team where we're fucking gone.
Nah, fuck that. Yeah, yes. They don't ever break up. Never. Never, ever.
Well,
they don't
have that when player. They do, I'm like, bye.
I mean, think about the tag teams that we've had. We've had Edge and Christian. Clearly, Edge was that guy that was going to break out.
Christian was still had legs to stand on, though.
No, he didn't.
Neither of these guys have legs to stand on by themselves.
No, they didn't. Matt Hardy and Jeff Hardy. Jeff Hardy, you saw he was the fan favorite. He was doing all the high.
I know, but
shit.
Matt had things. Well, I'm not going to talk about Matt and Jeff Hardy. You saw that video thing last. Brother Nero.
The Dudley Boys is one that I thought they shouldn't break up, because I didn't think that either one of them necessarily
then
stood apart
Billy
from
Ray happened. Like, oh, maybe.
Bully Ray was great.
Not Reverend Devon. Not a Reverend Devon fan.
No, fuck that.
Well,
but yeah,
justify.
A lot of these tag teams that form, they have defined characters. They have defined personalities. They have things about them that the crowd likes. Whereas these guys are just a tag team wrestling machine, and that's their whole gimmick. And it's vanilla, but it's great. It works for them.
And we're also going to bitch about one more thing about this. The match was great. I'm not going to take anything away from the match. I really don't like Jason Jordan.
Why?
Like, at all.
Oh, my God. Jason Jordan is a monster one day.
I look at him and I see a dweeb. No. I don't like it. Chad Gable is amazing. I know I hated him. I called him a vanilla midget a long time ago. I was wrong. It happens.
You're wrong a lot.
Yeah, but not, I don't think I am about Jason Jordan. Just something about him. It's probably just entirely me and my preferences, but I do not like him.
Jason Jordan is going to be a fucking force one day. He's going to be a...
No, he's not. If he's a world champion, I will stop watching wrestling.
He's going to be a world champion.
I'm
going to stop.
I'm going to be done. For real.
Jason Jordan is going to be that dude, I'm telling you.
That's going to be the day wrestling dies for me.
Yeah, because he's learning everything. He was boring at first, but like now that he's with Gable, he's learning everything he needs to do in order to attract the crowd and make them happy and please them and everything. And he has the wrestling acumen.
Chad Gable should be the force, not Jason Jordan.
But see, Chad Gable can't get in the ring with everybody.
Yes, he can.
He can't get in the ring with Brock.
He can tell a story with anybody. I guarantee you
that. Jason Jordan is somebody I can see that legitimately wrestling Brock Lesnar.
He's a dweeb. Oh, my God.
I'm so serious.
Shut up. No.
So serious.
No. Take it back. No.
Jason Jordan, Samoa Joe, Kurt Angle.
Shut up, Manny. I'm done with you. That ain't cool.
When I think about people that can handle Brock Lesnar.
Yeah. I'm just going to say this. Fuck Jason Jordan. We're not going
to
talk about him.
You can say that if you want to, but he's going to be...
And when he wins wrestling... Like, you know when Kevin Nash said Benoit and Eddie won the title, wrestling died that day? No, when Jason Jordan wins the belt, the wrestling dies.
Nah, man. Nah.
Fuck him. He's a dweeb. He's like
Tweet us with the hashtag PWTR. Let us know what you think about Jason Jordan. He is not.
He is a Jack Byron Saxton.
He is not.
Yes,
he
is.
No, he's not. No, he's not. Byron Saxton is a puppet with Vince's hand up his ass.
Dude, you see my tweet where it's like, every time he smiles, you can just hear Vince say, "Head smile, damn it!"
Yes.
You can just hear it. His fake ass smile. Whatever, fuck Byron Saxton. All right, last thing we're going to talk about before we close the show out, Samoa Joe, Finn Balor.
It happened.
I thought it was a good match.
I thought it was a good match, too. It wasn't a memorable match by...
The thing with them. The first match at London is their best match so far, I think, still.
Yep.
Because it's the most memorable. And plus, I do want to comment on Finn
Balor. The most memorable match was the one where Joe was bleeding all over the place.
Well, that because for all the wrong reasons, because that match sucked.
I mean, no, all the right reasons initially, and then all the wrong reasons.
Yeah, because they kept stopping the match and ruining the match. So.
Sure.
And I think the cage match was really good. I'm going to talk about Finn Balor's entrance for a second. I love how they keep doing new things with it, like incorporating whatever is going on, like the town you're in.
I'm scared they're going to run out of things, though.
They won't. I think there's plenty. Like, you go to any city, there's more than just, like, you go to Texas, not just the Texas Chainsaw Massacre you can make fun of, or to ape off of.
So he's going to come out with a 10-gallon hat and some cowboy boots?
Hey, maybe.
That shit is lame.
It'll be JBL. So,
the cage is cool, though.
Yeah, the cage and pushing it down, going on top of the cage.
You know what would have been even cooler, though?
What?
If they did it and showed up and Finn Balor was already in the cage.
No, I like the entrance idea.
Mm.
And I do want to talk about Samoa Joe's entrance, too. I think it's a pretty underrated entrance, but it just shows his face on the Titantron, just like it shakes and then he shows up with a... I love it all. And Samoa Joe... Here's my thing with Samoa Joe. I think he's great. I think he's
the best...
You
didn't like him in TNA, did you?
I did like him in TNA.
Oh, okay.
I've always liked Joe. But my thing is, here's the thing with Samoa Joe. He's the only good Samoan champion we have right now.
I disagree.
And here's the thing. When people say Roman Reigns is a badass, I'm like, no. You want to see a real Samoan badass, you look at Samoa Joe. I think
they're both badasses. Why can't
I think
badass?
Samoa Joe, like, I see a phony with Roman Reigns. I see a legit badass with
because
Samoa Joe.
You're looking through the prism of your own experience.
How's that?
Because you already have a preconceived notion that you already don't like Roman Reigns, and because
that's
of that,
definitely not the case.
It is the case, and it's difficult for
to
you
like him.
Because of that, it's difficult for you to acknowledge that some of the good things that he's doing, some of the good things that you see.
I'm sorry, he's not a badass. I see a man pretending to be a badass. With Samoa Joe, I see a badass.
I see Roman Reigns being a badass.
Okay, too. How about this? Maybe you can meet me halfway here. Samoa Joe makes looking like a badass look easy.
Yes,
and Roman Reigns doesn't.
I'm not going that far, but it's definitely easier. I'd say Samoa Joe is more of a badass. I'm not going to say that Roman Reigns isn't a badass, though.
But I think it's a big in-between the two.
I don't think the gap is as wide as you think,
it is.
I think
if it is.
Okay.
Because Samoa Joe, I just see he's just a fucking badass. Like, you wouldn't want to fuck with him. Like, Roman Reigns, you're going to lose a fight, but you could...
You know who's a badass?
What?
Jason Jordan.
Fuck off. He is nice. A dweeb. Little fucking nerd.
Oh, just wait till he drops Gable and they start feuding.
Gable better win that feud.
That'll be a tag team that breaks up because they both have individual talent that they can.
God, Gable's gonna be should be the next Daniel Bryan.
He probably will be.
And then Jason Jordan can be the next, you know, Great Khali and get the fuck off my TV.
See, that's what I'm talking about. The preconceived notions.
I don't give a fuck. I'm a fan. I can do what I want.
That was the truest thing that you've ever said.
And with that, we're going to close the show out. Anything else you want to say, Manny?
No, I think that...
No, I'm scared. I'm Manny.
I haven't seen Breaking Ground yet. I got to go watch that.
I know. I got to watch that, too, eventually.
Charlie said it's just amazing.
I think it will be. It's about the... Oh, wait. Hold on. Can we talk about how awesome it was? I'm going to set the stage, because this one's worth setting the stage for.
Uh-oh.
Backstage. Interviewing William Regal. All of a sudden,
a
wild Bobby Roode appears.
It was great in its subtlety.
I know. And then you see Corey Graves' face just cheesing, like,
because he just like walked past like it was no big deal. Went inside. The camera didn't even pan over to him or make a big deal out of it. It was just like William Regal's talking. And it was like, hey,
that's Bobby Roode. God, he's gonna be a force. You want to talk about a force?
Oh yeah,
right there.
I want to see Bobby Roode versus... I want him to grow his hair back, first of all.
Now I like the bald look. He's very Triple H of him.
It was too Triple H of him. That's exactly. What I was going to say. Bobby Roode versus Triple H. I want to see Bobby Roode take over as the person with the pedigree.
Yeah, Seth Rollins kind of has it on lock, though.
Seth Rollins needs his own finisher.
I agree, but it's not going to happen. He had to start with the curb stomp, and that had to get banned, so now he's stuck with the pedigree.
The curb stomp was such a great finisher, though.
I agree, but WWE is WWE, what can you do? Except, man, I wish it could be a curb stomp. I say that's all we got. That's all we can do. But yeah, Bobby Roode, I'm telling you right now, when he debuts, number one on my Fave 5. Automatic. He's got potential.
Off rip?
Yeah.
Did you like Bobby Roode in TNA?
Bobby Roode's the only good thing in TNA.
How much TNA did you watch?
Like a lot, actually.
Huh.
More like than I should have.
Like 2011?
Yeah.
Okay. Because that's when they were best to me.
Bobby Roode, though, I swear, he's got the... We need a Triple H replacement. Boom. Right there. Mate. Sign, still delivered. Yeah, but, that's why WWE's... I love how they're making a big deal with him. Even with the subtlety with Corey Graves, like, Bobby Roode. And it's like, you know things are going to change when he just...
You know what I love?
What?
I love that WWE isn't necessarily interested in, like, acquiring TNA or anything like that.
They just want the talent.
I love that they're eating up all this talent to be able to deliver these great matches and these great feuds and everything, because it's gratifying to see that as a fan. That's all. It's to see AJ Styles in the fucking ring with John Cena.
John Cena.
It's incredible to see Nakamura in the ring with Austin Aries, same two guys same. That weren't even WWE associated, but you still had to wait on the dream match to happen in WWE.
Dude, that was... See, their WWE's doing things right. But for all the shit we give them, they do things right occasionally. Don't fuck around with a brand split, you fucker.
Who do you think is next? Who'll be the big acquisition next?
I think they got... Bobby Roode was the big one I would always want them to have.
Yeah, that is true. Remember when we were wishing for like AJ Styles to be in WWE?
Yeah, so we see John Cena versus AJ Styles. It's gonna happen. They seriously build a dream match because it is. It's like, and he compared it to The Rock. Yeah, that was kind of a dream match. Rock.
I mean, I guess the next guy would be like Okada.
Yeah, I doubt they'll ever get him though. Maybe when they go down the line of career, when like. He gets to where Nakamura was in his career. Maybe we'll get him.
Sure, they'll get Jay Lethal at some point.
Oh, Jay Lethal. That's the big one now.
Or maybe because they're a dope-ass tag team. I forgot the name. Oh, the Briscoes. The Briscoes are really good. Oh, you don't know if they are. You know them?
I'm trying to think. TNA-wise, we got pretty much everybody. Because James Storm was there for a brief minute, but that's okay.
I mean, unless you really want Rockstar Spud or Matt Hardy.
Yeah, man. We could need Brother Nero in the fucking company.
No, but ROH has a lot of people that they might want to rent out at some point.
Briscoes and Jay Lethal, I think, are the next big ones. But Bobby Roode was my big one. Because remember back at the Royal Rumble, where like the question was, at Last Mark Standing, me and you, it was like, you said Okada, I said Bobby Roode. Bobby Roode's always been my pick for the guy WWE needs to get. And they got him. So,
and before that, it was AJ Styles.
I wasn't a big AJ. I'm still not a big AJ Styles guy, but...
I don't understand you.
I admit he's great. He's better than I thought because I've hated him at TNA.
You know who it would be? You know who, like, the biggest thing that they could do right now that's, like, actually realistic? The Young Bucks.
Fuck you.
I'm serious. No.
I'm not following you here.
The Young Bucks. Get the Young Bucks in WWE, dude.
Yeah, but that's their whole gimmick is that they're not WWE guys, so whatever.
Well, fuck that. That whole gimmick could be, we're paid. Fuck you.
Their whole gimmick could be, get the fuck off my TV. I don't want to see you bums. You Young the bums.
They just kick the shit out of your characters in WWE 2K.
Fuck you. You have no idea how horrible that was.
I want to see it.
You never, because we didn't film that one, but we should have. Because my anger, Jake was so calm. I was so pissed. Whatever. That we're too much inside
Stop
baseball here.
Super kicking me.
Basically, it's like I'm getting legit. I don't usually ever get that angry at video games. You're right there, Duke and Charlie push my buttons.
That's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, but yeah. So we're gonna end off like we said we were gonna do like 5 minutes ago. But yeah. Is next week Money in the Bank?
Next week is Money in the Bank, yes.
Shit, last minute standing.
Is it?
I think it's another week ahead.
We gotta catch the bootlegs.
Oh shit. You'll be surprised what we do next week.
No. Tweet us with the hashtag BWTR. Let us know what you want next week. Do you want the spoiler alert review of the early pre-release of Money in the Bank? Or do you want another episode of Last Mark Standing? And then we got to go find some fighters.
Yeah, we got to find some fighters, like, quick. And plus, because we have to, that's Money in the Bank. Whoever wins this is going to get Money in the Bank to face you, Manny.
Yep.
Yeah, so, yeah, we're going to be done here. Tweet us with the hashtag PWTR. Let us know your thoughts on the show. Tell us what you want us to see next week. And we'll see you next week. Bye.
Peace.